So at any rate, what happened next, to get back to the central chain of the history, was we formed the program office. I was able to recruit some additional blue suit talent, and I also had strong support from the Aerospace Corporation, particularly two individuals named Phil Diamond and Walt Melton. And we had relatively small support offices, but they were very effective and very useful to us. And by 1977 and 78, we were launching GPS payloads. And I'm certain it's not a record in terms of getting things up, but if you consider we'd never prototyped the satellites, we first came on contract with them in June of 1974. And so it was from an absolute standing start. I think we launched the first payload in 1977 and the first satellite in February of 1978. So I guess in terms of start to finish, it was a pretty good record. And the guy that gets credit for that is a Mr. Dick Schwartz, who was headed up the team at Rockwell that was building the satellites. It was a highly interactive process with me and my blue suiters the reviews were almost continuous, and it was very much a team operation. Integrated product teams we didn't know that name, but that's what we were doing. And the other gentleman who needs a lot of credit was a fellow named Gaylord Green, who was a young major at the time, finally retired as a colonel, and actually ended up after my watch running the Joint Program Office after a couple other stints and various things. So those were some of the heroes that we had. So by 1978, the concept was established, and the test results rolled in over the next 2 years and showed that what we had said was fundamentally a 10-meter capability was indeed there. Now, of course, the DOD in its great wisdom has elected to perturb the timing base in a way that makes the ranging accuracy for a civil user less than they would like. And because I serve on an independent review team for DOD on this, we've argued very vehemently that this is a grave error, that what it did was speed up the advent of differential systems. We had already demonstrated by 1978 differential GPS systems. The first differential GPS systems were already exhibiting 2.5 meters of horizontal accuracy.
Now, how does a differential work? What
procedure is that? The fundamental idea behind a differential GPS is that you put a calibrating or reference receiver on a known location on the ground. And for other receivers in that locale, it will perceive the errors to be approximately the same. So you measure the errors and then via some comm link transmit those errors to the user, who can apply them as corrections to each of the ranging signals. And the state of the art in that ranges all the way down. If you averaged it to millimeters of accuracy, if you're doing it dynamically to a few centimeters of accuracy. And there's now a concept that has been demonstrated, the prototypes at Stanford, also as part of my program, to do a regional differential that takes about 24 reference stations across the whole United States. And by not just calibrating the ranging error, but breaking its sources down, the corrections are valid over a wider range. For example, the ephemeris, the clock, the ionospheric corrections. The ephemeris is the location of the satellite, of course, and that's a three-dimensional correction. So you transmit to the user a correction that automatically compensates for geospatial decorrelations. And by doing that, what you have allowed is the user to apply the correction for his particular spot in the United States. And that is routinely demonstrating 3/4 of a meter horizontal positioning accuracy anywhere in the United States. And the interesting thing is the corrections come in over the GPS link. You another comm. Corrections come directly in from a satellite broadcasting on exactly the GPS frequency. So the handheld your dad has, as soon as the FAA's WASP wide area system goes up that does this, should be able to get the width of your shoulder's accuracy anywhere in the United States.